Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, publishers of Big Blend magazines and full-time travelers on our Love Your Park store. And of course, you know, we love anything to do with the outdoors. But what about campfire conversations? Mm-hmm. But not just conversations, confessions. That is the book we're going to be talking about with author Christine Oshu. She is a log rolling champion. We love this. she's also written a kid's book. She is amazing. So her book is out now. It is released through Books Fluent. Again, it's called Campfire Confessions, and it focuses on three women and, childhood friends, best friends. I know what that's like. You get together. In fact, I'll be doing that. Nancy, we're going to see Melissa, my best friend. I haven't seen her in 30 years.
Yeah.
Summer in Michigan. She's flying in from England and South Africa. And what kind of confessions will happen?
I know more than you think I do.
I know that there is no getting away with anything around really good friends, especially if childhood friends. So welcome to the show. And everyone, Christine's website is Christine Oshu, and that's O-C-H-U, and that's Christine with a K. So welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm so jazzed to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. I mean, as soon as we saw the book, we're like, well, we have to do this because you guys, you know, it's three women outdoors doing things. And of course, there's confessions but it's also women helping each other. That's the other thing. It's about friendship, too.
Yeah, that was a really big part of the book for me, is about just wanting to capture that real core part of friendship and how friendship can really empower us to overcome these inner obstacles that we have. And of course, in the book, they have a lot of other challenges and obstacles they have to overcome. But right, just really sharing the power of friendship, they really are able to uplift themselves and get themselves out of a lot of trouble.
How much of it is also about forgiveness and allowing each other to be imperfect? Because women, I think, we get ourselves in trouble a lot because we always have to put on the good front and yet be nurturing to the rest of the world at the same time.
Yeah, I love that question. Thank you. Because, you know, one, I wanted the book to be fun about friendship and that banter and, you know, all that kind of stuff that happens when you get together. But I really had some core themes underneath it that I wanted to just bring to the surface. And that is how women really have a hard time. Like, each of the characters has an inner struggle. One really is trying to learn to embrace self-love, right? Kind of get caught into that martyrdom syndrome, having to do everything for everybody else and kind of losing herself. And I think that that's a very common problem with women. And another one is just letting go of past mistakes. Sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. I think we're our worst critics, right? Mm-hmm. So learning to let go of past mistakes. Then also just learning to forgive yourself sometimes and others, and the freedom that gives. And so, you know, by doing this, we get to really create our own authentic life that we want, that makes us happy. So these are some of the main obstacles that I found that women really struggle with, because I teach workshops as well to help women create their own amazing life. And these are sometimes the biggest three obstacles that get in the way. And so I really wanted to bring them into the book and show how the characters deal with them by using different tools. Depending on how far you got into the book, on each kind of different tools that they use to help themselves, whether it's a tapping tool or a power statement or meditation or visualization. Mm.
Talk about the tapping tool, because some folks may not be familiar. Nancy and I are familiar. Isn't it EFT?
There's different kinds of tapping. And I think that's, there's over like, I think probably 12 million people now that practice EFT, emotional freedom technique. That's one type of tapping. Another type of tapping is a little bit more what I do, is more acupressure type of tapping. So tapping is basically, comes from Chinese acupuncture. So we know that there's 365 acupuncture points in our body, and each point, correlates connected to a nerve or a tissue, an organ in our system. So when we tap on a certain part of our body, then, you know, we send different signals to that organ, tissue, and muscle. When you think about it, I'm glad this wasn't hundreds of years ago, because the Chinese did, like, you know, practice on people to stick those needles in and figure out where it came
from. Nancy's out. Yeah, right? Nancy, that's it. She's gone.
So what else we need to do with tapping is really just use our fingertips and tap on certain parts of our body. So one of my favorite tapping spots is tapping on my cheekbones. It's when you tap on your cheekbones, that kind of grounds yourself. So if you're feeling kind of maybe a little flighty, or you're feeling a little discombobulated, you can tap on your cheekbones, because that actually is sending signals to your stomach meridian. And it just really kind of goes all the way down through your body, and just really helps you ground yourself. And I have other ones I can share depending on.
That's awesome, though, that you're doing this in a form of a novel. And by the way, if I tap my cheek and it goes to my stomach meridian, will I lose weight? Like,
well, I will tell you, if you do tap under your armpits, you do actually affect your gastrointestinal system, and it helps you get rid of toxins and sugar and all that kind of stuff. So,
that's good to know.
Kind of splurge a little bit. A good place to tap is under your armpits, kind of around that bra line area.
Oh, wow. Who knew this? This is good. But yeah, to bring this into a novel, I think is a really good approach, because I think, you know, there's so many books to teach and self-help, which is great. And I could see that you would be good at doing that as well with what you're doing. And your writing is great. Nancy and I are both saying you're a terrific writer. Mm-hmm. And so bringing that in, you could do a self-help kind of book, or, you know, women's strengthening book. But I think there's something novel about putting it into a novel, where we get to connect and tap into our imagination. I've got the tapping going now. To tap into our creative side too.
Yes. That was, and actually I use a daily energy routine every morning for myself, and where I tap, you can just go through this, and I use power statements, and it was life-changing for me. So every tool that I have in the book and in my workshops, I've used in my life, and I believe in them, and they helped me overcome my own rough spots in my life. So, and I'm excited to just plant the ideas in the reader's head, and then, you know, they might resonate with one or two, and I can reach out and explore more, because, you know, the information is really available. So, and I'm always available too. So
can you tap to your favorite music?
Sure can. In fact, music is one of the strongest mood changers. So if you're in a bad mood, you know, you put on a happy song. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to stay grumpy if you've got something really happy going on in your
Yeah.
Mood. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's really true. That, you know, music, every time I'm like, even in a, you know, it's like you've got a deadline for an article and you were all gung-ho about writing it. And then you sit down to write it. You're like, oopsie, what did I get myself into? And you've made promises, you got to do it. And I always have to remember, I should like have a piece of tape with a label on my computer just saying, just play music, you'll be fine. Because as soon as I do that, I can. So thank you, Bonnie Raitt. She's the best music to write by.
I love it. And there's music for every mood too, right? So
right.
And the characters in the book, Annie especially, she was the small town minister's wife, right?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she loves to sing, and she loves music, and she makes up songs, and so the characters do kind of use music to have fun with each other, and she also uses it as kind of part of her past, kind of something special she did with her father that she kind of brings forward into her life to sing with her young sons.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, are you going to do a playlist to go with the book?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody wants to do it on Spotify anymore, but
now.
I don't know. It's like, you know, I don't know what to do about But you know, it's politically, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it would be great to have like a playlist of music, and maybe even get readers to submit like music that, you know, that resonates from the book. Because I see this as being a fabulous book club book choice. Do you see that? Is that something you'd be open to?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm already going to be at 5 different book clubs here locally. And I've promised to meet with anybody virtually. And if they're within like a 2-hour drive or 2 hour plus, I'd be happy to go see them. Because, yeah, that was one thing Book Life Reviews from Publishers Weekly said. They felt that this was definitely a must read for book clubs. And I really spent a lot of time at the back of the book writing questions. I think I have 17 or 18 questions. And when I submitted them for review, I had kind of a group of kind of friends that were readers too. One of my friends said, "Ooh, these are some pretty deep questions. You know, my book club, we could just kind of talk about surface things, but you're asking us to go deep here. Do you think women will really, you know, talk about these questions?" And I said, "You know what? I think so. You know, I think there's a, now it depends up to that book club and the group, how far they want to go. But I know that I'm part of two book clubs here. Mm-hmm. And one of my most favorite experiences was when we read one book, and it was at the Midnight Library by Matt Haig. And people just really started sharing some of the things, personal experience that they had been through. And after that book club, we all bonded and became even closer friends, you know? So I think that's a cool good possibility as well. I'm hoping that I can create that opportunity for women.
So for in-person, which we're allowed to do these days, which is really quite nice, this would be, you're in Amelia Island, Florida, which is such a beautiful and historic area. You've got all that Spanish moss dripping down and all the Spanish history and of course the ocean, and it's just, it's beautiful. And then in summer you're up in northern Wisconsin, right? So that could be an area as well.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Hayward, Wisconsin. And so I'm only 3 hours from Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour and a half south of Duluth. And I love driving through Wisconsin anyways. I mean, it's
beautiful.
You're driving from woods to farmlands to lakes. I mean, and it's just, to me, it's taking a drive out there is like it's taking a little time in heaven, you know?
Speaking of that, let's talk about the nature side and the adventure in the book. I don't, you can't give it away. So, you know, talk about it a little bit. So you give everyone a little overview of the other two characters too, but how do they get out on this grand adventure outdoors, kayaking and getting themselves into trouble? Because that happens. Somehow we all take different, like our friend Rondi, who said, "Oh, I know this hike really well, like the back of my hand."
You're right.
And, you know, she took us out in the middle of the desert and we ended up on some overnight hike somewhere. And some guide turned and said, "Ladies, you better start thinking about turning around. Otherwise you're sleeping out here tonight." And to which we all sat down and got the giggles, had our sandwich right in the middle of the pathway and drank champagne. But anyway, that's how we rolled on that one. But we did get out of the park in time. It's funny because we just saw her and we're still giggling about getting lost. It happens a lot to us. But this adventure, what sparked the adventure, and give everyone an overview where no spoilers.
Okay. Yep. Oh, I love kayaking and I love canoeing. And so I grew up in Hayward, Wisconsin. So we had the Namekagon River right there. So I get on that river at least, you know, 5 times a summer. And sometimes I go by myself. Sometimes I'll grab a friend, a family. But anyways, I just feel like there's just something special about, you know, canoeing on a river because, you know, one, it's less work than canoeing on the lake, right? You get the current to help you, but you never know what's going to be around the next bend, you know? So I just really find it just to be a great place to be and escape. But I have these three women that were childhood friends, and I have them based in the Northwoods around Hayward, Wisconsin. I just figured it was easy to use and I love the area. And so they were childhood best friends in a small town. And one's now out in LA, one's in the Twin Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and one stayed home. And they had this promise that they would one day reunite to go on this long promised canoeing trip. Well, when each of their lives kind of explode with a secret or about to explode, you know, they each get themselves into quite a pickle. They end up, when one secret explodes, they end up, I'll just give a tiny bit because it's on the back cover. So when the small town minister's wife secret explodes, the two best friends race to rescue her and they escape on this canoeing trip, which, you know, starts out hilarious and a lot of fun and jokes and banter. And then find themselves, you know, the next morning after having a great time around the campfire, the next morning they wake up and everything starts to go wrong. You know, a storm comes up, you know, like I said, I won't say too much more, but one thing after another goes wrong. And they find themselves, you know, basically lost in the woods, wondering how they're going to get home.
Wow. Which that is a fun conversation to have, and yeah. also the trauma side. We've done that in South mm-hmm. Africa. We ended up in the Transkei.
Wow. Yes.
In another country and not knowing which way to go. And we ended up on the back of a pickup of some farmer hoping he was taking us
the right way
because we didn't know where we were and trusting him as women. And, mm-hmm. you know, so there's that feeling. And there's it is funny because we will giggle. There's always that giggle part. And then yes. there's a uh-oh part. You know how mm-hmm. it just goes to
exactly.
those.
Because
I totally understand that. Because I've been hiking by myself, and I've been in situations where when I came home and told my mother, she was not happy with me even in my, you know, adult years and, you know, my little 50s. And so I just, I've been there too, where you've taken chances because you've gotten yourself in a situation. Mm-hmm. You have to rely on a stranger and hope that they're the right person.
Right.
I actually, like 2 summers ago, I piled into a van with the family as I got stranded kind of on a kayak trip, and I couldn't make it the rest of the way. And, you know, the husband was so sweet. He went and sat way in the back, and I was the family with 5 kids. So I felt it was pretty safe. But I do remember that little strange feeling in my gut, like, oh, okay, you know, you're told not to take a ride with strangers, right?
Yeah, I mean, but there's that excitement because you're pushing the envelope, and you mm-hmm. really don't know what's going to happen. That's right. The, you know, if you can guess what's going to happen, or you've been through a similar experience, it's not quite the same when you really don't know what's going to happen. There's right. It's exciting.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like yeah. that adventure, which obviously you two love. And
yeah.
I love.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. We like people keep saying, why aren't you traveling the country in an RV? And I'm like, no. And if you, quite frankly, I think some people really need to stop doing this. There's a huge surge of RV sales happening across the country since COVID, which is great. But I do encourage people to go and take a class on driving them. I'm just saying, after so many overturned RVs we have seen on the road lately, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying.
It's the towing of the extra vehicle or two behind the RV that I think is causing a major problem. The balance is way off.
There's something going
something's
on.
Wrong.
Just go to school on it, because we're seeing a lot of disappointed people and people get hurt. But we don't do an RV for that reason. Nobody wants to see me drive that kind of thing. And we end up on roads that we never should take. You know, we're supposed to be somewhere and it's like, oh, but look, I bet you there's going to be wild geese or something over there. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Our car has been through things you would never imagine. Like you're not supposed to, including all your snow in Wisconsin and a snowstorm and snow fog at 2 a.m. But it was pretty. It really was pretty. I'm sorry, but
magical.
It was magical.
Yeah.
But
magical.
I think there's something that getting out, you're challenging yourself and getting yourself out of the box. And I think relationships, mm-hmm. especially friends, and you think about childhood friends, because as kids, we misbehaved in some format and pushed the boundaries. We were also very
really
pure. Well, we didn't have all the limitations that we have as adults. So I think this reunion of friends, no matter how you look at it, all the things you did, positive and the naughty, come together. And that's what creates who you are. And those friends know you from the purest form of self.
Yeah.
That's what's so exciting about a reunion with friends. Mm. They really do. You can't fake it.
You can't fake it. And yeah. I love the fact they know all the stuff that you really don't want other people to know. You know, or they know your dark secrets, you know, mm-hmm. more or less. But they love you anyways because they know the whole picture, right? Mm-hmm. And they know that's one thing too, is well, letting go of the past is I don't remember who said this, but they said, you know, they look back in their life like 30 years, you know, later, and they said, who the heck was she? You know, I don't even know who she was, you know, because we all get a chance to change and evolve. You know, so there's that part of it too. But then down at the core, I think our best friends really know all the wonderful parts of ourselves and know the rest of it was part of the journey, the mistakes and, you know, the screw ups and whatnot. And they wish I would have done this differently. And they just love you for who you are.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't also you work in the field of human resources? Are you still doing that? And how does that, you know, tie into what you would, obviously, you know how to read people. Don't fire me. No.
I have a BA in psychology and then my master's in human resources, industrial relations to be correct. But that industrial relations, I think like 2 years after I got my master's, they changed it to human resources. So it was kind of like an old term that evolved, even though I'm not that old. But yes, I worked in human resources for over 15 years. I was in the corporate world and I was last position I held, I had international responsibilities. So I got to travel, world a little bit, had offices in Paris and London.
Cool.
And in Germany.
Nice.
And so I do love traveling. So the human resource side was, I think, really seeing so many different situations, you know, so many different sides of people, because when you're a human resource, you know, as you work your way up, and I was, you know, vice president at the end, but you're counseling people, you're helping people, you're coaching people. Mm-hmm. You want them to achieve, you want them to develop and be their best. And you're also helping that organization be their best. So, you know, for the organization to be the best, the people have to be their best, right? So you want to align all those values, those goals, and help people. So I just have always loved personal development, and I believe in human potentiality, and I love studying that field. I mean, give me a good book on human potential, like, you know, neuroscience or quantum physics or spirituality. Cool. Or how we can evolve. I just dive in. So, and I also think, you know, there's the good and the bad through those years. You know, I've been through mergers and acquisitions. I've been through layoffs. You know, there's been hard times. So you just see so much of the human experience. So I just feel like that's made me a very compassionate person. I'm very down to earth. So I just feel like I was able to bring some of that compassion into the book as well.
Mm. And I think that's important, because you're connecting with characters, and you know, that's what I think good stories do. It's about the human experience, like you were talking about, where we talk about this all the time about movies mm-hmm. and TV shows, and like England was really and still is one of the best in really. You will watch
characters.
Something. Not it's got nothing to do with the plot. It's about just watching these characters continue through things. It's not mm-hmm. about the plot has to do A, B, and oh, you know what? We have to spend $1 million on this and that. It's not that. It's about these characters. And I think the TV and movies have changed on the American side because of Netflix and all the streaming opportunities, that we're starting to dig into being more independent and freer spirited in how we do things. So we're seeing more character-driven stories about the human experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why I see like Campfire Confessions. I see that totally being such a cool like series or mm-hmm. movie. But I think it's just following friends and having that experience, those conversations, and how do we get out of this together? How do we help each other? And also, once you know someone's deep secrets, you've got to not utilize that in a negative way. You can't step on that fragile place.
It's a responsibility.
Yeah, it is a responsibility.
It's a responsibility. But I always feel like there's always a secret part of a person. And that's how they continue to surprise you with the things they do. It's like, oh, wow, that's me. I never thought you'd do, you know, and you'd speak. There's that secret side that somehow comes out every once in a while, yeah. You know, and you see a whole different side of a person. That's what I find really interesting.
And I think sometimes adventure brings that out as well.
Yes. Yeah.
When I travel challenges. With my husband, we'll be taking a trip. We went to Ireland and I thought, geez, we've been married, you know, like 20 plus years. And I thought, oh, but do we know everything about each other? And we'll surprise each other by sitting down, having a whole new conversation. Mm-hmm. Just like getting out of our normal routine or the normal surroundings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And opens up and it's like, oh. And I also, I don't know about you, but I also have this little rebel inside me sometimes too, that I don't want somebody to think they know everything about me.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think you know everything about me.
Yeah.
You
know? But yeah, also, no, we don't know everything about ourselves. And the only way we know is to get out and have mm-hmm. some kind of adventure, and I think that's the beauty of travel
things.
And the outdoors really will always challenge you because of weather. You know, it's like when we used to live mm-hmm. in Tucson and also Joshua Tree area. So the desert is interesting. There's storms. The monsoon season is epic cool if you get the big monsoon storms, but you could go out hiking. Blue sky is beautiful. And for those who know the desert, you just know it's coming. You just can feel it in your body. You can feel if there's going to be no monsoon season, and it really sucks. Your body's craving that moisture and it's craving the big kaboom. But you could, if for someone who's never hiked it, you can go out and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's going to happen and you can feel it, and you can get yourself into some serious doo-doo if you don't know. Yeah. And that's the thing. So you have to, well, and there's snakes. There's all kinds of things that you can get everywhere. You've got gators where you are. Yeah, you've got gators. You've got sharks in the water. I mean, anything. And you've got cottonmouths. I saw a cottonmouth just the other day. So, you know, so you can get yourself into trouble. And then how are you going to get out of it? That's the, you know.
Yeah, and I find myself a number of times on my adventures where I've got myself in a little bit of a trouble. And I do love the desert. When I was 8 years old, my father sold his John Deere business in Hayward, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And he took the summer and he put, my two brothers were out of the house. It was my mother, my three sisters, myself. And he pulled a pop-up trailer behind our green station wagon. And we traveled around the United States while he decided where we were going to live next. And so we had quite a few adventures at that age.
Wow, cool.
So, but I did spend a few months in Sedona during COVID, and we were lucky we landed in Sedona. But I did find myself on top of a mountain because I kind of wanted to see what was up there. What did it look like up there?
And, you know, see, there it is.
And then suddenly a storm came up, and I really, literally kind of had to go down on my butt and on my back and hold on to every little, you know, bush that had anything to hold on to because it was so strong. And I was like going, oops, no, I don't know if I'm going to tell my husband.
She did the desert slide.
I did the desert slide. I did.
Yep. I've done a lot of sliding and falling into rivers. And there's, and if there's a snake, call me. I will find the snake. I'm the snake person. If there's anywhere nearby, for some reason, they want to come say hello. And so when you're grabbing hold of things, think of that, because you never know what you're going to grab to get out there. Yeah, I know, right? But it's really, it's true. But that's the thing, the going through those kind of, like, you push your strengths. And afterwards, you know, so long as you get out alive and not broken, you know, you got to sit and kind of like, okay, did I, should I, could I, all of those good words come out. And you've got to forgive yourself to be able to move on. And that's, you know, obviously a metaphor for the greater things in life, though. What's greater than going on a hike and getting lost?
You know, and that's one thing with the, in the book too. I mean, each of the characters has something happen on this journey, and they're kind of really pushed beyond what they thought they could do. And, you know, and I love that part. They are able to kind of find, you know, that strength inside and in unexpected ways.
Who are the women from, like the three characters? Were they inspired by specific women? I mean, I love that you're releasing this. Actually, March 8th is International Women's Day. So that is awesome. I know this is airing March 10th, but it is March. So happy Women's History Month, everyone. So I think it's a perfect timing. Your story, but are the women from women, you know, obviously you've met a ton of people in your life in different circumstances with what you do.
Well, I have to say, you know, there's a little bit of me in every character. There are some of my childhood best friends that are in the characters, and there are some of my adult friends that I've met later in life in those characters that are, you know, close to me. So yeah, I really feel like it was like a meld, like a little bit of everybody. And I use a little bit of, like, I remember one of my childhood friends, we used to camp along the Namekagon River, and we would like go skinny dipping in the middle of the day, right? You know, 12, 13 years old, whatever. And, you know, we would, you know, be in the water, and then you'd hear the canoe paddle us, and we'd run up screaming out, you know, run in the woods and hide and all this kind of stuff, you know. And, and so, you know, the things like, you know, you do back then when the world was in this, maybe we were even 10, I can't remember, but But, you know, there is like a, there's a fun scene that's kind of around that, you know, it's definitely changed and modified and all that kind of stuff. But just certain memories like that. And one of my very best friends who passed away that she's part of, I dedicated this book to three of my best girlfriends that passed away, each of them to cancer, on different types of cancer. One of them, Kathy, I mean, and George, I have to say, and Cindy, they all had a big laugh, you know? And so, you know, just there's a character that just reminds me, you know, that a big laugh and a big hug, you know, and some, you know, some people are really huggers and they can really like suck the air out of you, you know, so there's different characteristics that I gave to Joe, for example, who is a big hugger in the book, you know, famous for her bear hugs.
See, I like the laughter too. The laughter is important for everything because it allows you to, it's humbling. You know, it just kind of allows you to get down to, it's funny.
Well, it, lessens the seriousness because if things are really serious and you go down that road, you really have a much harder time finding your way back.
And you know what? That was one of the goals. And I really hope I achieved it was, I thought if they mix enough witty banter, kind of like, you know, Sex and the City had a lot of witty banter. So there's a lot of witty banter between the friends, a lot of teasing. And then you add in some, you know, funny scenes and hilarious things that happen, that I would have created enough levity that so when you got to talk about some of the more serious stuff, you know, it's just easier to talk about, you know. So, and I think that's life. Like if you add some levity, I mean, like how many times have you been like in a, tears have been coming down, you've been talking about something and then eventually it kind of shifts and you end up laughing about it and you end up, you know, this conversation where you're, you know, you're laughing at yourself, you're making fun of yourself and you've been able to move on, right? And I do think that's what we can do for each other.
I agree. That's that's, to me, it's the giggles and laughter is, it's the most important thing because you just, it gets all the nervous energy out. I mean, even funerals, Nancy and I laugh at funerals, so we're not allowed to go.
Because we get
the giggles. We look at people's hats when you're supposed to be doing something else.
We were at my aunt's funeral, somebody, one lady's hat flew off her head and landed on the casket in the grave.
So how do you not laugh?
I had to laugh. I mean, and I couldn't stop, you know. I mean,
it's funny.
It was funny. The thing was, do you get the hat out or do you throw dirt on top of it? Nobody knew what to do.
You get it out and you play frisbee.
No, they threw dirt on top of it. They buried it.
They buried the hat.
They buried it.
Well, that's a whole like other story.
I know. It's like, wow. You know,
it's better than a hatchet.
You know? Yeah. Bury the hat.
I still think it's funny.
So, do you want Campfire Confessions to be a movie?
I would love for it to be a movie. You know, I started out writing screenplays.
Cool.
So I left my corporate career. I wanted to spend a little more time with family because I'd gotten remarried and I brought my two daughters into this marriage. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to say, okay, I need to spend a little more time. But I'd always wanted to get back to writing. I used to write like poems and poetry with one of my childhood best friends, by the way. And so her name is Robin, just in case she's listening to this. But anyway, so I wrote, I just fell in love with screenwriting. I'm so visual. And so that's one thing fun about screenwriting. So I studied it. I was in Boston at the time. So I studied Harvard Square Scriptwriters. And then, you know, went out to LA and took courses and conferences and Grub Street Writers was another writing organization I was with. But just really studied the craft for, you know, some time. And then I ended up writing about 6 screenplays. I would have to say 4 of them were pretty strong. One actually optioned a few times. It's called Nantucket Awar. And it was chosen for Nantucket Arts Festival, not the big film festival, but the arts festival, smaller little thing. But it got a live stage reading, which is really fun with professional actors and actresses. So I feel though, the fun part of that is I felt that I was able to take that visual part of the writing, and you know, screenplays are about action and dialogue, right? You can't have talking heads, you know, you have to show, you can't just tell them how you're feeling. That's what you can do in a book. You can share, you know, emotions, but in a screenplay you can't. So you learn how to show things and be visual, and dialogue has to be quick and snappy. So I really kind of brought some of that style into the book. So the book, you know, moves more quickly. It doesn't have like a ton of description, and some readers might really love a lot of description. I tried to find a nice balance there to kind of keep the pace moving. I really do see it. In fact, I met with the Harvest Course Script Writers Group last night, virtually. It's a wonderful organization for anyone who is interested. I'm very supportive of new and old writers. And so we talked about the book. That would be a dream come true. That'd be another dream come true.
But your book reads fast. And I think that's screenwriting
it's
part
got
of
a
it.
Nice like pace.
You're in it from the very first word in the church scene. I'm like, uh-oh. I mean, that's like a classic movie entry. Like,
yeah.
I see like Julia Roberts in there. I don't know why. She's always in a church somewhere.
But you've given each character a little kind of body movement that they do. The one is always pressing her forehead. The other one's always stepping one hip out further, you know, than the other. Yeah, so that you can identify. Because now when I'm reading, I'm like, oh, that's her. She's going to move her hip out like that. You know, kind of, yeah, and then she does it. So
I'm so glad you picked up on that. Yeah. I worked on that.
Well, no, it's there. It's good. So who would you pick to play these three women?
Oh, boy. You know, I was thinking about that. That is hard. In fact, I was starting to, you know, someone had asked me that question.
Yeah, it's hard not to because it just belongs. It makes sense.
Yeah, I kind of thought Dakota Johnson might be a great one. Margaret Robbie, or maybe Olivia Wilde. Amanda Siegfried, am I saying that right? Alexandra Breckenridge, maybe Emma Stone. I've got this right here. Gail Goddard, Dakota Johnson.
Cool. There's ages for it too. It's a good blend of that. This is cool. Well, I'm excited for you with this. And I hope you got to get like bestseller awards and all of that. I know it's happening. It's there. Oh.
Well,
I know.
So it's on it. I really appreciate that because it's released March 8th. So it's just 1 week from today. Of course, I'm getting those pre-launch nerves, but excitement and everything in between. I guess like anybody wants it to really take off, but it's not just the part of selling the book. It's about the messages too. I mean, I truly do feel a passion for the messages in the book and just to offer women a chance to just come together and have a fun, entertaining read too, right? There's so much serious stuff out there. I mean, you two laugh a lot and it's wonderful. But a lot of women have felt very isolated. I think the stats are now that around the world, globally, like almost 45% of people feel lonely, you know, and they don't know how to connect. And now things are changing and they're getting better. But, whenever we can help lift each other up and have that good laugh or that fun scene.
That's a really good point, because loneliness can be, even if you're surrounded with a family or friends all the time, there's a shift that has to happen, and you can lonelyize yourself. You know what I mean?
You need to have a connection. You have to build connections
Where best friends from school. And I also love that you're putting women in the outdoors, which women love the outdoors. I don't know if it's just that as we travel, we're obviously park, forest, animal people. So we're always meeting people of that, kind, but I find it that it's kind of forgotten that women are adventurers too.
Absolutely. In fact, here on the island, and also of course in Wisconsin, I'm part of a hiking group and kayaking group and whatnot. And so we get out and do things together. But when I sit down and talk to women, or I do a post, and I try to do a lot of inspirational, motivational posts, out there on social media, people really respond to things about nature. I mean, it's so healing, but it's also a place you can go and have fun. And so I really hope the book can take off from book clubs too, and it can be virtual book clubs. Now I'll host some virtual book clubs as well, just for women to connect and talk. But there is a lot of just wonderful things about nature. And I don't know how far you got into the book, but there's even just different spiritual beliefs about nature. You mm-hmm. know, what does an animal represent? Mm-hmm. What does a bird represent? You know, I have a lot of friends who love dragonflies. I love dragonflies too. Mm-hmm. My mother loved dragonflies, kind of mm-hmm. feeling that.
That's a spiritual belief too. Yes. It goes with butterflies mm-hmm. and water. And mm-hmm. have you read Ted Andrews?
Oh, I have. His books are tattered in my house. I have one in Wisconsin, one here, and I give them to friends. I mm-hmm. studied his Animal Speak.
That's yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for years now, probably.
And he did one on plants and magical mm-hmm. herbs and things too.
Yeah,
because I always believe in, like, they're connected. And so a lot of times we'll forget about the plant side. And so there's like a whole other thing with that too, which I need to dig into, because I think I believe plants are communicating with us. I know that's weird, but I do.
Well, there's actually a study. I actually studied this. I think it's Max. Oh my gosh, I'm going to mispronounce the name, but he was noted. He actually won a Nobel Prize. He was somebody who worked with lie detection tests.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a plant in the room and he was going to, and he was had it hooked up to this lie detection test, and he wasn't getting any readings. So he said, well, I'm going to burn a leaf to see what happens. So he went over to get some matches
mm-mm.
and the machine went off.
Bad.
So if you Google it, it's, so bad I can't remember the name, but it's a true scientific research. And
wow.
And so he did win some prizes for that in the science world. And then also Sandra Ingerman, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's a world famous shaman, and she teaches people to respect the earth
mm.
and to respect plants and to how to connect with them and, you know, how to, you know, really be one with nature.
So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it is part of who we are. Without nature, we would not be here. And everyone
exactly
got spiritual, different spiritual beliefs. But I think that's what's beautiful about nature. You're talking about the workshops and everything that you do about, you know, there's neuroscience or science, but there's also spiritual. And I think that's what nature is good. I think nature brings the two together. That is the unity, because so many times it's only spiritual, only science, but Mother Nature is the conduit between the two.
I love that. Can I use that? I will credit you with that.
Yes, so I'm just the voice that. For Mother Nature.
Hear me
roar.
Well, I mean, you have to have both. You need to have the plants and you have to have the animals. You can't have one without the other. It just doesn't work.
You got
to
have the rocks and the
everything
geology.
Is connected, because everything works together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and when it doesn't work together, we have things like droughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is great. I love it. So, and you know what? It'd be great, you know, when people go on summer vacation to take mm-hmm. your book, Campfire Confessions, and read that, you know, you're sitting, you know, maybe out on a, overlooking the mountains on a, you know, mountain vacation. This is a good mm-hmm. time to read your book. I think it would be perfect, you know. And for women's groups too. So I think mm-hmm. this is awesome. Everyone. Now, did I pronounce your last name correctly? Because I
did
practice.
You were amazing. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good. Because everyone, I always butcher everyone's name and language. And it's really, I don't mean to, but it happens. And as soon as I get it right, we'll go live, or we'll, you know, hit the record button and I go backwards. It happens. So, but anyway, Christine Oshu is .com is the website, and it's Christine with a K, and it's O-C-H-U, oshu.com. So go get Campfire Confessions. We thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll get to go paddling with you in the summer or in the future. Maybe we could do it with alligators in Florida.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll take you out.
If you're game, we're game.
We're game.
Yeah. You just don't know what you're getting yourself into. I'm just
That's right.
You.
Okay. Nancy, I know I'm going to laugh a lot. So as long as I laugh, it's okay.
I go in circles.
So, yeah, she does.
So just be warned. And apparently I do make people laugh when I get in a kayak. So that's or a canoe. Canoes, yeah, I don't know. I need my own, I don't know, but I could just go in an inner tube and wear arm wings. That's what I'll do.
That works too.
That'll work. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and best wishes with the book.
Thank you so much. Thank you to both of you. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too.